Next item, please, is item number 252.
Amend City Code, Office of the City Attorney, Duties and Responsibilities.
And we're now on the regular agenda. Colleagues, the City Attorney's Office performs all of the legal work of the city, with few exceptions. The City Attorney's Office provides legal advice and training, reviews all of our city contracts, and represents the city in litigation in state and federal court, among other legal duties on behalf of the City of Portland. The City Code defines the scope of the City Attorney's responsibilities, and different legal activities require the City Attorney to obtain different approvals before they're allowed to take any action. This city code has not been revised in over a decade. In that time, the city attorney has identified a few items in the code that should be improved. These items include giving the city attorney the ability to act quickly to defend the city's legal interests, as well as the ability to affirmatively help protect city employees in certain circumstances. These are very important and common sense changes to the city code. This ordinance is sponsored by all of us here on the City Council. Would any of my colleagues like to make any open statements before I turn this over to our City Attorney, Tracy Reeve? Very good. With all that, then, we'll turn it over to Tracy Reeve, who will walk us through the proposed changes to the City Code. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Tracy Reeve. I'm the City Attorney, and I'm here this morning to walk you through the changes to PCC Section 3.10.030, which is the section that sets forth the duties and responsibilities of the City Attorney. So before I do that, I thought I would just briefly state that our mission is to provide excellent, objective, timely, and cost-effective legal advice and advocacy in support of the city's policy goals and to ensure that the official actions of the city, its elected officials, and employees comply with the law. And to enable us to achieve that mission, we have four strategic goals that guide our work. Those are to provide excellent customer service, to advocate effectively for the city's interests, to advance equity, and to ensure accountability. As the mayor has noted, my office is responsible for performing almost all of the legal work for the city. And the code section at issue here today sets forth our duties and responsibilities. In a nutshell, we represent the city in court and administrative proceedings, and we represent all city elected officials, officers, employees, boards, and commissions in all matters arising in the course and scope of their work for the city. We give legal advice and prepare legal documents. We review and approve all written contracts and other legally binding documents to which the city is a party. We work to ensure compliance with the law and ethical obligations and to prevent legal problems by providing training, advice, direction, and opinions to the city and its elected officials, officers, employees, boards, and commissions. And we institute legal proceedings on behalf of the city with the appropriate authorization. The changes before you today relate to our scope of authority in this last area of instituting legal proceedings. We've identified two areas in which amendments to the scope of our authority to institute legal proceedings will enable us to better meet the needs and policy objectives of the city. The first area is that in the last few years, we are increasingly seeing situations in which city elected officials, officers, and employees are experiencing hostile, harassing, and even threatening behavior directed at them because of their role as city officials and employees. Currently, under the city code, we are only authorized to represent officers, employees, as required by the Oregon Tort Claims Act, which would not cover this situation. This amendment would enable us, with the authorization of the commissioner in charge, to represent city employees in their personal capacity when in proceedings that are connected to their city employment and that are related to their personal safety. And as an example, this would enable us, in an appropriate circumstance, to represent a city official or employee who is seeking a restraining order against someone who is threatening them as a result of their city employment. So that's the first area. The second area pertains to our ability to institute or participate in legal proceedings on a timely basis. In the last couple of years, and particularly since the Trump administration took office, we are increasingly participating as an amicus curiae, or friend of the court, in cases involving policy issues of concern to the city. For example, we have participated as an amicus in numerous cases challenging the Trump administration's attack on immigrants and the DACA program. We've been able to participate in many of these immigration-related issues due to a resolution that the council passed, giving us fairly broad authority in this area with the mayor's authorization. But we're also fielding regularly requests that align with the city's values in other areas. On occasion, we simply are not able to get before council with a resolution in time for us to participate. Most recently, this occurred when we were asked to participate as a friend of the court in the climate litigation brought by Oregon Young People. And the timeline was just too tight, although as that case, assuming that it continues, that was at the motion to dismiss level, we will seek to participate. This change to the code, though, would enable us to file an amicus brief in cases in which we are not a party, the city is not a party, but does have legal or policy interests that align with the litigation or that are at issue in the litigation with the authorization of the commissioner in charge. Finally, the last change before you is to address a relatively rare but potentially significant issue. Generally speaking, to appeal a court or administrative decision in most circumstances, we need City Council approval. Normally, that's fine. It doesn't present a problem. But occasionally, we are faced with a filing timeline that makes this extremely difficult. And this is particularly problematic because in most circumstances, appellate filing timelines are jurisdictional, meaning if you miss the timeline, you are completely without recourse to pursue the appeal. The issue arose most recently when we were working with other national partners, and it was determined that the city should appeal the FCC ruling having to do with broadband and the uses of the city's rights of way. And the timeline was such that we needed a special council meeting to get the authorization. We were able to do that because council already had a work session, so council was already gathered and together. But that could present a very difficult circumstance if council didn't happen to have a work session already scheduled within the time frame that we needed. So what we're proposing is that in and only in those types of situations where, in the judgment of the city attorney, it's necessary to protect the city's legal interests, and with the authorization of the commissioner in charge, we would have authority to file a notice of appeal to protect the city's legal interests, but we would still come before you as soon as possible to get authorization to actually prosecute or move forward with the appeal. In that situation, we're counseled to determine that it did not wish the city attorney to prosecute the appeal, we would then simply dismiss the notice of appeal, but the city at least would not have waived its right to participate. Thank you for your consideration of these changes to the code, which we believe will enable us to better meet the city's needs.
Thank you. Commissioner Fish?
I have one question, and I'm reflecting on the fact that in our legislative work, we have a policy that says that we're all bound by our legislative agenda, no freelancing. We even sign a letter to that, we sign a memo to that effect, so that we're all clear as to what the city's legislative priorities are. And if we go down to Salem, we have to stick to the script. That was a big step forward when we implemented that a couple of years ago, because we were adopting legislative agendas, but there was a lot of freelancing going on in the council, and it was unclear whether individual commissioners were speaking for the council or not, and it got confusing. Here, the mechanism in most instances is the commissioner in charge gets to decide. I can imagine a circumstance where it's not entirely clear who the commissioner in charge is, because it's an issue that doesn't just fall neatly within someone's portfolio. Under those circumstances, how do you determine who is the authorizing official?
Well, that would be a fact-specific circumstance, Commissioner. If there was a doubt, my way forward would be to work with more than one commissioner if there were more than one commissioner who had direct authority. The other thing I'll say about the amicus participation is I see this as a way where it's pretty clear what the council's policy objectives are and that an amicus brief would align with those. If there's doubt as to whether what the city's policy position would be, namely what the council's position would be, we would still come before the council as a whole to seek that authorization.
Makes sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very good. Public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have, I believe, three people signed up. Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, Dan Handelman, and Maggie.
Very good. Thank you. Come on up. 2 minutes. Name for the record, please.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Don't lose that. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Dan Handelman with Brooklyn Cop Watch.
I'm sorry, Dan. Could you turn that microphone back on? Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and we are concerned about this emergency ordinance giving too much power to the city attorney with no oversight and few restrictions. We are particularly concerned because of the city's history of filing appeals against the interest of community justice, such as two appeals of Judge Simon's rulings in the DOJ agreement. The city attorney is one of the most powerful people in this government, is not elected, and is rarely held accountable. Elected officials come and go. City attorneys stay for a longer time. This has the positive effect of continuity, but the added with a legal advisory role, it means that their suggestions can carry inordinate weight with new officials, particularly those without legal backgrounds. We've also seen numerous incidents where the city attorney has given bad or even wrong advice to elected officials, including but not limited to advising the auditor and citizen review committee they could not exclude people from their meeting if those people were being disruptive. I'm going to skip over some of this because I didn't realize that I'll have 2 minutes. In terms of training, the city attorney is obviously doing a poor job training about the 181A law that prevents gathering information on individuals from that email the police circulated among themselves that listed names of people involved in Antifa and Patriot Prayer with no allegations of criminal activity. Although the ordinance allows for counsel post facto to approve an appeal that's filed, it's difficult to unring that bell once it's been rung. And it also says the city attorney has to seek counsel approval as soon as practicable, not as soon as possible, rather than the next counsel hearing following the paperwork being filed. I can hardly think of a case where you have to file appeal within 8 days. You usually have to file your paperwork on the Tuesday before the following Wednesday. And even if it is of such a rush, you can have a 4/5 agenda item to vote on something. So I'm not really sure why this is happening. What happens if there's a president that you do like and they try to file an amicus or an appeal against them? There's no language in here actually that says that they have to follow city policies to file these legal motions.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning on this beautiful Wednesday. Here in the era of Trump, at the Portland City Council, the first public testimony from a citizen in the public occurs 2 hours after the beginning of the meeting, almost 2.5 hours after the beginning of the meeting. Great public involvement and transparency here. To follow up on an issue that Commissioner Fish raised about determining who the commissioner in charge is, it would be a little bit better if this wording was language, if we knew that whenever there was an effort made to reach the commissioner in charge, all the commissioners were being informed simultaneously. That would even be a good amendment. I don't really expect you to all move it forward, but I think that it's been a pleasure to be engaged in some forms with Tracy Reeve. She came out of her own wisdom to a meeting in one of the many public meetings in the basement of the Mount Tabor Presbyterian Church when we were talking about police conduct or misconduct. So I'm encouraged that on her own, City Attorney Reeve would kind of adopt that standard of any time she needed to get an appeal in on some weird timeline, very weird timeline, as Mr. Handelman pointed out, that all the commissioners would be simultaneously informed that they were looking for the commissioner in charge, whoever that might be. Maybe Ted's in London and it's Madam President with her awesome new hair. But I think that would be better government. In the 31 seconds I've got left on my 2 minutes, one of the other things the city attorney could do to impress us all is actually become in favor of requiring police to require professional liability insurance, but that's a long battle that we'll look into in the future. The issue of restraining orders, I've recently saw one of y'all have a somewhat disruptive lunch or steps towards your lunch. You got to be interrogated or whatever by one of our people who are sometimes described as cop watch. I'm not sure that's certainly not applicable in the situation. I hope you'll never need protective orders and that you all engage with the community so we can be sure that all our elected officials have safety and respect. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
I want to second everything that Charles said. And I am concerned about this idea of using the city attorney to ameliorate government incompetence, like, say, the kind we saw in Katrina, where the engineers were trying to tell the city officials that the wall was going to go. It was not sound. When the wall finally went in Katrina, down in New Orleans, and those buses that they had that where they could have saved people's lives, and they had 3 days to get those buses out, and they didn't do it, and they didn't get those people out of their publicly owned buildings and off of those roofs, and people drowned. They were stranded. Women, men, children, babies died. And I don't think you should be protected against something like that. I agree, you know, if there's, you know, somebody like what happened to Ronald Reagan, where someone is stalking you and they're mentally ill, okay, yes, but you, like any other citizen, you can come forward and just get a restraining order just like anybody else. You don't need a special thing from the city attorney to do that. You as a citizen can go and apply for a restraining order. I don't see how that changes anything. But I don't think that in situations of great catastrophe, like we're the second largest homeless population in the nation, I don't think where there's government incompetence that you should be protected by the city attorney.
Thank you. We still have a blue screen.
Yeah. Now we've got a PowerPoint.
It was a good there. PowerPoint. That completes public back. Testimony.
No, I was signed up.
Oh, you're signed
you
up?
You might not have seen
okay.
it.
Very good. Were you signed up?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a Terrence somebody, Terrence Moses, but I don't have lightning.
Well,
I expect you to please sign up like everybody else so we know that you're on the list. Thank
your name
you.
Isn't on the list.
It's on there. We're just having a dispute on that, but I signed up, so
okay,
I'd like to speak.
Fair enough. Thank you. Go.
Okay, thank you. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Superhumanity. One of the biggest concerns I've ever had in these
Lightning,
councils,
could you hold for a second?
Yes, sir.
Very, very disconcerting. Okay, there we go.
Good.
Oh, okay, very good, sir.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
One of the biggest concerns I've had in these council chambers is seeing cop watchers have restraining orders put on them in this building. Now, where I have a problem with that is that although we do have the city attorney sitting behind me, the city attorney also represents the people's interests on all these contracts, all these issues. So with that in mind, when you're talking a personal capacity of a commissioner or the mayor outside, to me, if she goes in and represents at that point, that's almost a conflict of interest. She does represent the people of this city. She is being paid by the people of this city. So if somebody in here is saying something and you think it's so outrageous and you go, you know what, that voice of dissent, I'm going to shut that person down. I don't care what it takes. I'll work through the DA. I'll work through anybody I can and I'll get it done. And I'll even have my city attorney. We will stop them. Let's go for a restraining order. Let's do this. Whatever it takes. I just want their voice shut down. And keep them out of the council chambers. We got to be very careful on this. Because I can assure you on some of these cases, if it ever goes up in front of a judge like Judge Michael Simon, who understands the Constitution and is a constitutional scholar, I think what we're going to vote on today is unconstitutional. I think there's going to be a conflict of interest there. I think when you're outside and you're not doing your duties at that time, you need to get your own personal attorney. So if I sit on the other side and I want to bankrupt you in the process for being an incompetent mayor, I'm going to do it. That's my right. I don't think you should be represented by a city attorney to protect your interest if you're unconstitutional, because we will bankrupt you if that's what is necessary. We will bankrupt
you
and remove you out of your chair, unconstitutional Mayor Wheeler.
Your time is up.
One term.
Thank you.
Remember that. One term. Retaliate on me. One termer.
I'd like to hear from
the... Have the city attorney
excuse me,
it.
Your time is up. Thank you. Sit down, please. I'd like to hear from the city...
Don't tell me to sit down. I'll stand
excuse
up.
Me.
Don't tell me to sit down.
You need to sit down or you need to leave.
I don't need to sit down. I can stand. I have
could
that
I hear
right.
from the city attorney, please?
Don't tell me to sit down.
So the concern was raised in two different flavors. Could this be used to shut down dissenting opinions? So what would happen in the case that somebody files a restraining order against somebody and it turns out it is not... Excuse me, you're going to have to please be quiet. You are interrupting everything else. You need to please be quiet or I'm going to ask you to leave. In the event that somebody does misuse the restraining order. And I'm certainly aware, as the mayor of the city of Portland, I can walk the entire length of this city and have people standing nearby heckling me, shouting at me, calling me incompetent, shouting at my wife or my child who are standing next to us. And I understand that that is actually, while it's awful behavior, it's also constitutionally protected given my particular role. Is that not true?
That is true, Mayor. And
if we went to court saying we want a restraining order against somebody because they were engaged in that behavior, reprehensible though it may be, what would happen?
We would lose. And if I could just back up for a moment, even from that, which is that, you know, I would have the obligation and my office would have the obligation if that situation was raised either by an elected official or just by an employee. This behavior has been occurring in a, you know, elected officials are certainly subjected to it, but just ordinary city employees.
There are protections here then for people's constitutional rights built into the system, unlike what we just heard through testimony.
Absolutely. And we would have the obligation to evaluate the behavior that was being described to see if, A, it was connected to the person's employment, B, it was related to their personal safety, and C, whether it met the legal standard, whether we had a good faith basis to believe it met the legal standard for whatever relief we were looking for. Say it was a restraining order, we would have to look at the statutory criteria, which in Oregon are quite significant, and we would have to believe that we had a good faith basis to represent that employee and that all of those factors were met before we even went in. So that would be the first threshold. And then, of course, the court is looking at those constitutional issues as well.
I appreciate that clarification. And I also just want to state for the record, because it was stated during testimony, that people have had to wait an hour or an hour and a half for public testimony. I want to remind everybody that the first 15 minutes of every council session is reserved for public commentary on whatever they want to talk about. So I just want to correct the record on that matter. Any further questions?
I have
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. My question has to do with, I just want to be clear for the record. So if I'm going through a divorce, you're not going to represent me, right?
Absolutely. It has to be related to your employment and related to your safety.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty, did you have a question?
She's
Udaly. I'm sorry, Commissioner Udaly, did you have a question?
We're in uncharted waters now.
Every time we're in uncharted waters. Calls me
Commissioner Fritz called me Commissioner Fritz the other day. I mean, we're in uncharted waters.
That was special.
That was special.
Uncharted waters.
So I'm going to bring us back. I'm going to bring us back. Please call the roll. This is an emergency ordinance.
Fish.
Well, I support these common sense amendments, and for me, this goes to a fundamental principle, which is everybody who works here at the city deserves to work in a safe workplace. Whether you are an elected official or whether you are a staff person, whether you are represented or non-represented, you have the right to work in a safe workplace. And that's just not me saying that. That's protected under state and federal law. We are required as an employer to maintain a safe workplace. Unfortunately, there are a small number of people who continue to push the boundaries of behavior which is lawful and which may be the subject of future actions taken under these changes. Now, look, I've been an elected official now for 10 years. Sort of piggybacking off of what the mayor just said, I understand that as an elected official, I actually have fewer rights than others. I understand that people have the right to express themselves with vigor. Yesterday, I was getting into a ride share on 4th Avenue, and one of the frequent flyers here who is very opinionated came and actually stood in the street filming me and insulting me, insulted a member of the mayor's staff who was coming out to get into the car with his family. Look, I understand that in a democracy, people have a right to express themselves. They have a right to test boundaries. What they don't have the right to do is to cross the line on personal safety, because that's where we have a legal obligation to draw the line. I have a trusted and treasured employee that for some time was required to have a restraining order because someone couldn't follow the law and continually put him in awkward positions and made threats, and that's not acceptable. On the other hand, I understand as an elected official I have fewer rights, so we have done a security assessment of my rental apartment building. We've made some changes in my life because of some unfortunate things that have happened and are continuing to happen on social media. I get that. And I have my eyes wide open. I ran for re-election knowing that this job presents a whole range of good and challenging things. But let's go back to what is the core of one set of recommendations that you're making today. Our obligation to maintain a safe work environment. This is an outgrowth of this. We anticipate and expect that it will be exercised responsibly. Council will ultimately be the backstop. With respect to the timing on things like friend of the court briefs and other litigation, let me just say to our city attorney, I'm proud to serve on a council that has been aggressive in having our voice in courts around the country reflecting our values. I think we should continue to do it, joining with sister cities up and down the West Coast. And what we're fixing here is a situation where, because of timing, we may not have a chance to authorize something. We can still have the council revisit. The council still can weigh in after the fact. But because of timing, we want to streamline the process. That makes eminent sense to me. As I said, these are common sense amendments, and I support them. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
Thank you. And thank you, Tracy, for your presentation. I also support the changes that are before us today. And though I understand the fear of what the attorney will do with this new power, I also understand the necessity to make sure that my employees are safe when they come to work in the city of Portland. I have no fear myself personally, but I have seen how people intimidate, harass, and just make life a living heck for some of our employees. And to me, that's just not acceptable. You got a bone to pick. Pick it with me. Do not pick it with my staff. Do not pick it with other city employees. That is just so outrageous. That is just outrageous. I support this because I want to be able to assure my staff that it is not a safety risk for them showing up into the office and doing the job that they've been hired to do. And I just want to say to Dan Handelman, I know that I spent a lot of quality time with Tracy, and we will continue to do so. And we will continue to make sure that the city attorney really is doing the job that we want them to do. I vote aye.
You daily.
As a person who has had to navigate this world as a woman for the last 48 years and who has faced harassment, intimidation, and physical violence due to the simple fact that I am a woman, I'm not remotely interested in what any man thinks about me feeling threatened. I don't care what my colleagues think. I don't care what any of you think. Based on my lived experience, it is reasonable for me to fear for my safety when I am being stalked, harassed, insulted inside my work, outside my work, at my home, on my free time, when I'm sitting outside the Senate chambers in Salem taking a break after giving testimony. That was on Monday. I have experienced frequent ongoing harassment here, and I have feared for my physical safety, that of my family, my staff, and city employees, and it is unacceptable, and it makes me sick to hear community members making excuses for
this
that behavior.
Your first time being funded by our city attorney.
You're going to need to sit down. You do not get to say anything else. He's disrupted multiple times. I just want to note that. I was surprised recently after being stalked half a mile on foot, walking to lunch by a member of the public after I repeatedly asked him to stop, that the city could not assist me with obtaining a stalking order, that I would have... Sit down and shut up, Lightning.
Okay, we're going to take a 3-minute recess.
You need to go.
Thumbs up.